Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune into how you feel, because it's time to stretch. So going from 7 weeks to 7 months, we know a lot can change. And last season, I was joined by Sinead Butler when she was in that postpartum phase. She was in the throes of it, that fourth trimester, the matrescence and the healing. Her honesty hit home with so many other women who were in this stretch. And so I invited her back as she hits the 7 month mark to talk about what's changed, how she's grown, and how no matter what stage or phase you're in, there is still so much to learn. And she breaks the illusion that just because she's now over that 6 month mark, that somehow it gets easier. We talk about postpartum anxiety, the daily overwhelm, loneliness, and meeting our new selves. This is one I felt in my soul. I've been where she is. I know it. And I'm so grateful that she's able to help us all by talking about it with me on Stretch Marks. Sinead, you are back on Stretch Marks podcast because I desperately wanted to have a follow-up.
I'm nervous this time. I don't know why.
Don't be nervous.
I'm nervous. Yeah, that's fine. It's all good.
It's all good. Don't be nervous. We do have a lot to discuss. Firstly, let's discuss actually the impact of that first episode.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because it seemed to really hit with and kind of resonate deeply with a lot of women that were going through similar experiences. So if you haven't listened to it, do go back and listen to it. But it was all around that postpartum phase, that fourth trimester, the feelings. I think, gosh, she was only maybe 7 weeks or something when we recorded. So you were very raw in it. But I feel like that was really important because it's so different talking about it when you're in it to talking about it retrospectively.
Yeah. Yeah, firstly, I want to thank you for having me on for that episode and giving me the platform to voice things, because you can't do things like that on Instagram. So thank you. And thank you to everyone who took the time to listen. So you know, time is of the essence when you have a child and you're trying to do everything else. But no, I appreciated everything. And I'm still meeting women. I was out on a night out there recently enough, a rare night out. I was out about 9 o'clock. And this lady, I was chatting to her, and she was like, "What you said about breastfeeding resonated with me so much." She said, "Still hurts me that I couldn't breastfeed my 4 kids. I wasn't able to, I tried," but she was like, "That just like," and she was like, "I was talking about it in my workplace afterwards and I said it to women afterwards." So yeah, that definitely. And I know whenever I did a Q&A and stories about my birth and feeding is people kind of were interested to know, but that what I shared definitely blew up. And look, I was obviously in the throes of it, but I can still say it's a touchy subject for me. I'll be honest, there's things like maybe breastfeeding week and small little things where I might see something still is a bit of a sore point for me. But I think that's okay and that's normal. And let's talk about these things.
We all have those things. We all have things that we thought might happen that don't always work out. And disappointments along the way, whether it was you know, a lot of women might have, you know, tried for a VBAC and still they had to have a C-section, or, you know, they, you know, even maybe they wanted extra time off work and they have to go back to work before they're ready. And there's so much I feel like we have to process at a deep emotional level with all of these individual stretches when we're supposed to just pretend like, sure, that's what happened, get on with it.
Like, it's just massive, isn't it? Like, and we were just talking about this. Like, I just feel like the pressure on women in general nowadays to do it all. And I see that now, like, as I try and make a plan for childcare and return to work. I feel like, you know, society does not support mothers, parents. Like, the support is not there. And we all say, you know, it takes a village, and how they operate in other countries where everyone gathers around and everyone supports. Like, I just feel like it's hard, and I see it all now, because when I did the last podcast, I was in the throes of it and it was so early and time has gone so quick. Like, Molly's nearly 7 months now already. But like, I just feel society, I think it's the only way to describe it, the supports aren't really there. And I know you talk a lot about childcare and trying to find childcare and all those other things. I'm just learning a lot. Like, I feel like every stage brings like a new learning curve. Yeah. And it is a stretch. And, you know, I think today you got me on a day where I was definitely getting stretched there. It was just, I think Molly just knew that I had a few bits to do today, but I'm just going out for a walk with Eamon. But yeah, like, every day is, you know, some days are great and some days are really hard. Like, and I will still say I find it hard. I love it so much, but it's definitely, as you say, a stretch, and it can be tough going.
And that's exactly why I wanted to have you back on, because I feel like it's so important what you said in that postpartum episode when you're in those very raw early weeks. I think it resonated so much with women who are in that phase and stage. But I felt like it was appropriate to actually check back in 6 months later with you to explain and express how it changes, but it doesn't always get easier. Like, what you're dealing with, you can grow out of, or baby grows out of. But we can often romanticize this feeling of like, oh yeah, but look, when they're 3 months, when they're 4 months, when they're 5 months, when they're, I have a 6-year-old, like, you know, when we get there, somehow I will be more supported, more energized, more compassionate with myself, more patient. And like, we're none of those things, and we're meeting a new phase, a new stage, a new lump of challenges. And the old ones, for sure, they might diminish a little bit, but we need to break out of this thinking that somehow once my baby is 6 months plus, I'm flying it and I don't need help anymore.
Yeah, no. And do you know what, Sinead, like, obviously the first few weeks are hard and like, there's a lot of healing physically as well. But I'm not going to lie, I'm finding it's getting harder at parts for me. Like, I found myself a few days at home where I'm so upset because I feel overwhelmed at times. And like, I mentioned this before on Instagram, I worry so much more now. Like, I feel like I worry about how she'll get on school. She's not even in school yet. Like, will she be okay, and wherever she goes to school, like, childcare, will she settle in? There's all these other mixed emotions. So I just feel like you're adjusting to a completely new life, and you're trying to plan everything else as well and try not to get too overwhelmed. But she's at the stage where she's obviously, like, she's not crawling, but she wants to be moving and looking a bit more. And I just feel like I get frustrated a little bit because I can't do daily tasks. Like, I can't get on top of the washing maybe, or the kitchen's like a bomb site, and that's okay. But things like that would kind of weirdly stress me out and make me more overwhelmed. So I think it's important to say that, like, that's how I'm feeling. Parts of it gets easier. Like, thankfully the nighttime is a little bit easier for us. She does wake the odd time, but that part's a little bit easier. But I think the whole thing, personally, I think it gets busier rather than easier. I think that's the only way to describe it.
I remember this phase around that kind of, to be fair, weaning and food was like my least favorite phase. The mental fatigue of having to prepare everything and figure out if you've got something ready for when they're hungry, or figuring out what you were to give them, and is it nutritionally balanced, and is it safe, is it mashed enough, is it this enough, like the mental load kicks in. I particularly quite enjoyed that sleepy newborn phase.
Yeah,
you know,
you
like
need to go anywhere.
I didn't need to go anywhere. I had permission to just kind of hold my baby, and if I put her somewhere, she stayed there. Like I struggled more. Now I also had kids that didn't like sleep for a long time, but I struggled more at this stage when I felt like my reserves had completely depleted themselves. The food situation felt really busy. The kitchen was always a mess. I was constantly wiping up mashed carrot from some kind of crevice on a chair. And yeah, it's the exhaustion of like, you're on guard, you're on alert all day long, because they are just now sensing the world and what they can do and what they can get up to and how they can harm themselves.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, if you don't have that food shop in, that adds another layer of stress, because you haven't got a food prepper, you haven't got vegetables prepped, or things aren't pureed. And it's really about, like I said this to mom the last time I was down home and I was washing everything, and I was like, organization is key. And if you're not kind of organized or prepped, again, like the whole thing just becomes like small issues become really big. But yeah, it's a busy stage, and she's kind of, she's in a high chair per se, but kind of wants to be more upright and nearly sitting upright on her own, doesn't like to be supported by anything. So she's a busy baby as well, like definitely. And I know myself that I can see myself in her, because I never liked to sit still. Like I was always moving. She's very determined. I can see all that. I just see me in her. But it's just, yeah, it's so busy. And genuinely every day, do you know what I think? I'm just like, how do people do it with more than one? Like how?
There's a secret. There's a secret to it. Will I tell you? The secret is, on your second, you don't care. I don't care if the kitchen is a mess. I don't care if the toys are not tidied up. I'm not judging myself as harsh as I used to on my first. I'm not holding my motherhood measure of success against whether I've still got my shit together everywhere. Yeah. Like you mold by your second into, I feel, and from conversations with other women, by the time your second comes along, all of the things that you're stressing about now, you realize are not important, and they're just taking up space in your head.
Yeah. Look, and that's why, and again, I haven't talked to people just say like the first is just massive. And the first is like, I just feel still, I'm coming to terms with my time isn't my time anymore. And I never want any of this to come across like I'm ungrateful or unhappy or anything like that. Like I'm just, this is how I find it. I just find it such a big change. And for someone who was, like I said, busy and on the go, for me to be at home a lot more, I find that hard. So I find that mentally very hard, because I'm kind of in a bit of a strict routine every day, and I will be quite strict with naps that are usually only short. So again, I'm busting to try and do a few things in between that. So I have found that part where I'm at home more harder. Now I do try and get out and meet people, and that's a huge effort even in itself, getting out the door, you know, yourself, just packing a bag, putting the buggy in the car and stuff. So I do try and be proactive, but that was the big learning thing for me. Because as you say, in the first few weeks, you're just at home, you're in a bubble, your husband's off work, your partner's there, you're allowed to be in your pajamas all day. And then suddenly it's like, she needs to be dressed in the mornings. you need to be organized, you need to look somewhat presentable. I mean, you don't have to, but you know the way as they get older. So that was one thing that I found
really stressful.
I'm just still finding that. Wow. I have found at times, I know what it is now. So basically I had a lot of issues with my thyroid during my pregnancy and upping of meds and a lot of frequent bloods and stuff like that. And afterwards it completely went the other way. And there was again, a lot of to and fro with medications and stuff. So they had increased them really high. So I was going through these stages, like I'm going to say about 8 weeks ago, where I was feeling very anxious, and I was never an anxious person. Like I was never one to get where my heart would race or I'd feel really overwhelmed. I could manage my emotions, but I was going through stages where I was like feeling really anxious. I could be in the car and I was so overwhelmed and anxious. I was like, God, it must be the thyroid medications making me feel like this burst of kind of restlessness or like awakening at nighttime. So I rang the GP. She's like, let's get the bloods done again. And she rang me back a few days later and she's like, no, Sinead, your thyroid has gone the other way, meaning it's really low. You need loads to lift it. So it was completely the opposite to what I thought. And I remember I just broke down on the phone to her and I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, I don't know why I'm getting so upset. I was like, I'm not. I know I don't have postnatal depression. I'm out and about every day. Like I am exercising stuff, but I was like, I just feel really overwhelmed and I just feel really anxious. And I was putting it down to it being something to do with my thyroid and medications. She's like, Sinead, you've just had a massive change less than 4 months ago. You just need to just be kind to yourself, you know, make sure that you're taking a little bit of downtime yourself. And I just like, I'm still working through that, to be honest. I'm finding some of the days hard and I'm trying to work on that anxious feeling. But I don't know, it's just, I feel like when you have a baby or a second baby or whatever, it just feels like you kind of have to have it all together. Like, I don't know where that comes from. Is it a society thing where it's pressure, but like you just need to have it all together? And yeah, I've just found more so than that, I feel like I'm just the other way at times, that I just can't get it together. And the guilt then as well, if I do anything, and fear of judgment. We went away for two nights with some of Eamon's family, and like that. And it's just to talk about these things, because I think sometimes what you see online can be different, but we were away in a different city, a European city, and it was my first two nights away from her. And we actually went to Milan. That's where we went. But when I got there and I was in the city walking around, I just had these waves of anxiety. I was walking around with tears in my eyes. I was with a big group of girls. I had my sunglasses on. Like, I don't want anyone to see me, but I was like, I'm just the worst mother, you know, for leaving her and different things. And I just felt so overwhelmed because, I don't know, I just felt overwhelmed because I wasn't there. Am I a bad person? So that's kind of what I've been going through. And I just wanted to touch on that a little bit, because if anyone ever does feel that way, like, you know, I spoke to my friends about it and talked about it to other people. And I just think it's nice to have those conversations, because I do think it's all kind of normal with learning about the new you who is the mother. And just adjusting to everything.
To understand that it is a massive adjustment, and it's a massive responsibility when you're caring for a child 24/7. To not do that, it feels so bizarre, and your internal system doesn't know. And I always come back to this, like the cave woman in you, that mother in you, like we're all still programmed, like we're all still beings that were created through our own hormone systems, right? It's all mental, right? But we are genetically programmed a certain way, whether or not modern life actually fits in with that. And the cave woman in you doesn't know that she can fly to Milan.
I know.
And that your baby is safe with someone else. Like our sensory system gets softened and calmed, our nervous system gets calmed by the fact that we can touch our baby, smell our baby, feel our baby, you know that our baby is safe. So when we're away from our baby, it's completely normal and natural to lose our minds.
It's mad. Like, honestly, I've never experienced anything like it, Sinead. And that explains everything. And, you know, I understand that. But again, it's not until you're kind of going through it and you're like trying to break it down. And at the same time, you're allowed to get away for a night and you're allowed to have a break. But I found all that, like, these are just things that have happened along the way in the couple of months that have just really, like, I've found it hard, and struggling then with emotions, all the emotions, because it's a mix of emotions.
Yeah, we're being bombarded with what perfect looks like, mm-hmm. and what other women can do behind mm-hmm. their sunglasses, behind their apps, you know, that it's putting so much pressure on us, particularly yeah. first-time mothers.
Yeah.
Who only see the happy, smiling faces of this woman living a life that we assume is what we want.
Yeah.
And actually, in some of those moments where you're like, and I felt it the first night that I was away, that you feel on my first child, like, I should be grateful for this opportunity to get away. And I should be enjoying myself and I should be smiling and I should be, you know, now I get to live this life.
Yeah.
But actually is like, no, what I want to do actually is to not be here.
Yeah.
And I'm readjusting, like, well, who's she that doesn't want to be here?
And the life and soul of every party to the bitter end, let me tell you, I am always the best crack. And I just was like, who am I?
Yeah,
I'm learning, you know, and I'm adjusting. And it's the same with, like, my career as well, like, so driven and wanted to get as far as I could in a couple of years. And now I'm like, I don't want to do any of that, you know, as in that changes too. So, you know, it's just everything is different and your perspective changes hugely. So just learning and adjusting and trying to be kinder to myself. But I just wanted to share that because I think it's nice to know if you are really overwhelmed with things like that. People are going through it as well, and it's okay as well.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And it really, it changes, but it doesn't always pass. Like, there are times, you know, like yesterday, I was incredibly overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
out of really normal 3-year-old behavior, like really normal. But sometimes when I'm trying to do things for my other priorities, and I always come back to that quote, I think it's brilliant, like, motherhood isn't hard, doing anything else while doing motherhood is impossible.
Yeah.
And you're right, how you started this, you're discovering that there's kind of a system set up to support you when you're pregnant.
Mm.
But on the other side of that, society's like, yeah, no, we don't help you anymore.
You have to get on with that.
You have to get on with that.
Yeah.
So go back to work now and deal with, you know, whatever separation anxiety you're dealing with, and get back to work now, even though you can't find any childcare. And if you're, In healthcare, you might be on shift work, and even that's impossible to find childcare with.
No.
And if you start asking for reduced hour contracts, well, she's not ambitious enough anymore, is she? Oh, she's changed. Oh, she's changed. You know, it's...
I know.
It's endless. And yeah. Who we are and how we've changed is no longer just about who we are in the company of our child.
Yeah.
It's like who we are in work has changed. Who we are when we're traveling has changed. Who we are with our friendships is like we are ultimately changed.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to accept that we actually have those new priorities and to say them out loud.
Yeah. 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 I think it definitely comes back to that pressure. And, you know, even I've heard you discussing about childcare and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just hard then as well for, you know, it's hard for everyone, but it's not really standardized. And obviously where you live can have a massive knock on effect as well, the cost. So there's just a lot to weigh up. It's like adulting 101. Like, you know, it's just, as I say, the adjustment and the learning and the change of priorities. But yeah, just trying to be kinder to myself. And, you know, Eamon's just very stable. He doesn't get like, woo, whereas I'm just like lying in bed worrying about like, oh, I don't know, something about next year that's not even like a million miles away. So yeah, he's definitely very level and helps to keep me somewhat like this. But yeah, we're getting there. We're getting through it all slowly but surely.
Like, we're mama bears, and you did the right thing. You spoke to your friends, you called your GP. Like, you're doing all the right things in order to support ourselves and to just understand and to know that we go through these stages and fluctuations when life changes, you know. And for some, you know, for me, I suppose I think my hardest time was when I did go back to work.
Yeah.
That's when I struggled most, in the way that some do in that, you know, early postpartum phase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got far more anxious and stressed and overwhelmed when the work part kind of came back in. So it's just to support yourself through, and to say some women thrive on that and they love that bit. So
yeah,
it's to acknowledge that none of us have the same things going on or the same reaction to what it is that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How like, you know, what the things that you spoke about in the first episode could be in complete reverse for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, as I say, everyone's experience is so different. But I think, you know, every baby is different as well. And it depends on sleeping babies and weaning babies and what they're eating and stuff. Like, I even think, God, now Molly's 6 months, like, they were ringing me obviously last month to see, was I coming back? And I wasn't able to wrap my head around that. It's like, she's not really even eating enough solids in a day. So, but it's different circumstances for everyone. So, it's not easy to obviously take the extra time off work. But I honestly, I don't know, like, obviously if I had to go back to work, it could be different, but I know still now my mindset wouldn't even be in it. And like, even after talking to other women, it's funny how you just have like deep, meaningful conversations with mm-hmm. people that you barely meet. But when it comes to children and childcare and birth, and you just kind of tend to open up, and I would be quite open anyway. But I remember talking to a lady about, she was like, you know, ever since I had my baby, I was so anxious. And I was like, oh my God, like, I didn't know this was a thing. And she was like, yeah, like, it's, like, it is kind of somewhat normal. And then I was like looking up kind of postpartum anxiety and different things like that, that it actually can be a real thing. But I really feel like, and I know the services are there, you know, mental health services, and you can be referred and stuff like that. But I do feel like everyone nearly should be offered some sort of counseling after giving birth, even if it's, you know, it's a blur for the first 6 weeks, isn't it? Like, you're just getting on with it. You're getting up, you're just doing the night feeds, you're getting through it. But I feel like that support would benefit so many people. And even just counselling in general, there's still quite a taboo with it. But the birth and everything that you go through, I just feel like it would support people a lot. I know it's probably a lot to ask, but that's just something that I've been thinking about as well.
I don't know how it is a lot to ask. Like, if you mm-hmm. consider the amount of appointments that we have in pregnancy, and I know they're not necessarily for mental health, but they are maternal mm-hmm. health. And yeah. the greatest source of, like, of us being able to care for our children once they're outside of the womb is our own mental resilience.
Yeah.
And our own mental health. And that can only come by us being professionally supported
yeah.
in postpartum, you know, for the first year.
Yeah.
Minimum. And then obviously see how you are and what you need going forward. But
yeah.
definite, like, check-ins in those early phases all the way up in that first year is
yeah.
the greatest thing that we can do to support a mother in raising her children and to allow them to be mentally sound as they grow up. Because often what we repress and suppress kind of in those early days, like, they come out somewhere, they come out somehow. Something might happen in 3 or 4 years' time. And actually all that stress that's kind of been bubbling, you know, and that's the whole thing of, like, me saying, like, we all need to avoid the snap, like, because it's kind of, it's on the horizon somewhere for everyone. And we have this, like, standardized physical care in pregnancy mm-hmm. where there is no standardized mental health care after yeah. pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge amount beforehand. And, I saw someone's stories there during the week and just the policy. And I was like, God, like, it just seems like a lifetime ago since I was there. And I replied to her. I was like, she's actually a midwife there. I was like, oh, I kind of miss it there. But she was like, I was laughing. But yeah, that's definitely something I feel throughout. Because what is it, like, a visit from your public health nurse, who are amazing, by the way, like, amazing. I think it's like 2 or 3 visits. And then, like, there you go. So they yeah are. That was just yeah.
And even that, though, like, even your check-ins with your GP, they really are about your baby, you know. Yes. there's kind of, I remember with me, like, there definitely was, and I had, you know, I'm not dissing the GPs, but it's still within mm-hmm. the 15 minute mark, and
yeah,
you know, it's kind of a, you're getting on all right yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, you
know, yeah. Box ticked. Like,
I know
I need someone to look into my eyes and be like, Are you okay?
Yeah. And then you might cry.
And then you might cry. Because the point is, none of us are okay.
No.
None
of us holding it together, like,
are okay. Like, mm-hmm. what challenges you might not challenge me, but what challenges me might not challenge you. But it's somewhere, sometime, on some day, all of us are not okay.
For sure. For sure. It's funny, there was one day, God, it must be about 5 weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. It was before we were going on our first family holiday. It was a week before. And you know, you have a week before you go away that's always a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally one thing after another was going wrong. But I picked up a dose and Molly was sick and she was so off form, God love her. And she wouldn't stop crying the whole day. And I remember I took her out for a walk and I was trying to just keep her busy and she was still crying. I remember I came in and I rang my mum. I was literally, I couldn't stop crying. She was still crying. I said, I can't cope. I'm not able. And for me to do that took, like, I just felt like this is my pride and, like, I'm pulling on someone to give me a hand. I just remember feeling like I was so hard on myself for doing that, for asking for that help. But one thing that strikes me, and it was Eamon was working that day, and his shifts are long, and he gets a break of a few days off then, which is great. But I remember he rang me just to check in and he's like, oh, I'm just out having a coffee or we're on a work break or something. And I remember thinking, when I was in the throes of it, I remember thinking, God, wouldn't it be so lovely to be out having coffee with someone? And I was like, what is going, like, as in it was just such a hard day where she wasn't going anywhere, bless her, she was so sick and I was feeling miserable. And I remember for that split second being like, oh my God, imagine just being out drinking a coffee with someone. So on those days where you're in the throes of it and you're thinking like just to be out and about somewhere or just even social interaction or something like that, it was just one of those moments where I was like, it was like a light bulb switch and I was like, God, imagine just having that. Because I feel like, you know, in a way, nothing does change for the other half who does go back to work. Like, as in, they're still out and about socializing. Mm-hmm. Work is still very hard for them. But there's something about being outside of the house with other people and being in a social. Yeah, yeah, just being in that social environment and talking and stuff. Mm. So I remember my friend sent me something on that. I think it was like a little video on TikTok. And it's only when you think about all these little things that it's like, yeah, like, you know, it's, I know they're coming in from a day's work, but it's just the social interaction. Sometimes you just miss, I find, if you're on your own. And that's why I do say, like, I do find some of the days lonely. And I like when people say that. And obviously my mom is up and down a good bit and she's a good support, my sister. There is definitely days where I find motherhood in general can be a bit of a lonely space.
We're not meant to do it this way.
Mm.
We're not meant to be living like this. We're not meant to be so isolated and away from the people that, you know, we can safely just hand our baby to so that we can just go for that walk or have that cup of coffee.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's, we're so separated.
Mm.
And we really are so isolated. And it can be really hard when you're looking at your week going, like, I love that feeling of I'm at least mothering with somebody. Like, that's why meeting somebody that also has a baby in that same age. And sometimes, like, all you're doing is you're just, like, on a sitting room floor. But it's just easier together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have a friend who had her baby 10 days before me. She's actually one of my best friends and we had two girls. And I met her last week, but like that was just the two babies on a playmat and you're just talking nonsense and talking every day, weaning stuff. But isn't it just amazing to just have those conversations and just to be, you know, have the support and know that you're not in it yourself? That's one thing I would say is just reaching out to people has been amazing. And I have a couple of friends who are mums as well, and they kind of get it as well. Because sometimes it can be hard. And they do, like, you know, Eamon totally gets it. Like, but it is sometimes where it's like you don't want to be in work, but some days you're like, oh God, I'd love to be on a lunch break for an hour having a cup of coffee and a chat with some co-workers. But it's just mad. Like, it's just, I find, and like we said at the start, every stage brings new learning. And I know we're coming into a busy stage and she's not even walking yet. So I know it's going to be full on. But yeah, it's just learning about it all. And as my friend says, she's wise, everything is a phase. And I know it's short lived and you want to wrap it up and you want to enjoy every moment, because when they're smiling at you with the little gums, it just takes everything away. But I really wanted to do this podcast and be super honest and just say, like, I am still finding parts of it hard. And I know from chatting to women that they do find that as well. But it just really reassures me when I hear people say things like that. So that's kind of how my journey has been so far. I'm sure there'll be something else the next time we speak.
What is getting better? I remember one thing kind of from the first conversation was around that feeling of, like, you not knowing her yet.
Mm.
Like, you were in care mode.
Yeah.
You were meeting her needs, but you didn't know her.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the personality already. She's determined and she's busy. And she's got a bit of a cheeky side to her as well. I'm going to say she got that from Eamon, but it's just the faces and the messing. I already know she's just going to be funny. But I can see it in her if she doesn't get what she wants, or, oh my God, she's, you know, those little personality traits. I remember when I had my one of my scans, it was near the end, and they couldn't get around to all the limbs and stuff. They were like, this baby, we didn't know at that stage if it was a boy or a girl. They're like, this baby is so active, it won't sit still. It's like, it's so hard to get the dimensions and the measurements. So it's like, oh, I could feel her, like, just, but now that she's here, I'm like, that's what you are. You're just busy and you're a goer. My mum says I was the exact same when I was that age, but that's who I see now. And it's lovely seeing the personality and the personality traits coming through. Yeah, she is gas.
Like, it can be busier, but it could also be more fun than the newborn days.
So funny. Like, I really think, and you don't want to miss the next stage away, but I do think when she is actually walking or talking, I really think the stuff she's going to come out with is going to be so funny. And it's lovely to have loads of that interaction where they're looking you straight in the eye and they're like getting a bit of crack out of what you're doing or you're messing, and they're taking it all in. So that's definitely just such a lovely phase. So you do feel like you get to know the character of her. So it's like, it is just amazing. I love every second of it. But she's going to be busy, let me tell you for sure.
I think there's something about when you start to get responses from them, you know, and that they show you affection without you kind of seeking it.
Yeah,
you know, like when they shimmy up and kind of make it known that they want to be held and they want to be cuddled. Yeah. And they want you and they need you. And
yeah,
I remember just like, I miss that. I know I still have it very much with my 3-year-old who's still a koala of a child, but the feeling of like reassurance that you were doing something right, because they are now just like, they just want you so much. Like, you walk into the room and there you are, their eyes.
Yeah. And the voice, the minute they hear the voice, like when Eamon comes in the mornings after a night shift, he'll be talking, coming up the stairs, and you can see her already. She's like, where is he? But she's very funny. Like today I was trying to get her to, she's gone down for a nap, and she's kind of whinging and whining. And the minute I went upstairs, then she's looking at me, she's giggling away. I'm like, you have been around here before, for sure. You know what you're up to. So yeah, it's very cute. Yeah, very cute.
It's so cute. And this is the thing, every phase brings with it its own new little moments of joy, and then its own new absolute overwhelm and trying to figure it out. And it is important that we are just getting more open and okay with saying, well, I'm in this phase now and I love this and I'm finding this hard.
Yeah.
Instead of, I love this and I'm fine.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. Like I just, that one thing that sticks in my mind was everyone's, you know, most people saying, you know, it gets easier, but I'm finding parts of it, definitely like the organization part and having a food shop in, all that kind of stuff is definitely busier. But then, you know, you move on to a stage then when she's a little bit older, where she's not, you're not sterilizing bottles every night, and you know, it just, everything is different. But yeah, we've learned so much, and every day is different, but internally so grateful for her, like, and the hard days and the good days that it brings.
But you're still meeting yourself, you're still meeting this new version of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a term that you actually can refer to it as. No, I'm not sure if I have that right, but I don't know what the word. Yes, it's like actually going into adolescence, but it's actually a different. It's a new you, essentially, is it? It's growing into a new person.
Yeah, our brains literally change in the way that when, you know, an early teen moves into that later teen and they become an adolescent, and they literally, they change. We go through deeply researched physiological and psychological changes, and you are meeting this new version of you. And you don't yet know her yet, which is why it can also feel kind of an anxious time, because you're still learning to trust yourself and you're still learning, you know, your new priorities and your new needs and your new wants. And you kind of feel, well, what did I used to feel? And you can't tap into that because that old you is becoming a new you. And it doesn't happen the moment your baby's born that you're this new you. So you're in this limbo phase. And there's no timeline on that. There's no like expiry date. There's no like you have arrived at your destination. We don't know when, except I think that we keep changing and we keep evolving. And with each child, it's also proven that you go through another matrescence. So it's not that you're just now mother you with more kids. Like you've changed again for the fact that you've now this child, and you change again if you have another child, and then we just hit perimenopause and we change again. So it's like it's all I know. I mean, who'd be a woman?
But I do have to say, like, people that I met along the way, like especially my GP that day, she rang me and I was mortified for getting upset on the phone, which actually isn't a big deal. Like, come on, you're allowed, like you're totally allowed. She was just amazing. She really was, in how she spoke to me and made me feel. So I think it's always important to know that there is always help there when it does feel like it's getting a little bit overwhelming. Like, I don't want to come on Instagram and like say I'm crying today, it's such a hard day. Like, it's not, I don't feel like that's fair and what with what's going on in the world either. Like, that wouldn't sit right with me. So yeah, like there's snippets that you see, and I will share the odd little bit, but I know I shared the really raw message at the start, and I loved sharing that, and I was in it at the time. But I don't want to be coming on, you know, anytime I have a hard day, because that just wouldn't really sit right with me. But it's lovely to use this platform and to have a chat and just say, look, here's a little bit of what's been going on. And, you know, people think they know you online, but they really don't. You know, it's just, it's like an hour of a full day that you might see in a couple of stories.
And it's, I think for me, it's like, if anybody feels like they have a responsibility online, for me, I think it's more like, it's not about exposing your whatever you're struggling with always, or like your pain or whatever. It's just maybe not lying about the other end and making it always seem like, oh, I can do this, and it didn't take anything out of me, and I look like this 24/7, and I'm, you know, it's like, I think that it's harder for us to see people that are consistently kind
put
of
together.
Yeah,
I'll always share little snippets and stuff like that, but like, look, with social media in general, as I always say, follow who you want to follow, and if you don't like what you see, and unfollow. For me, it's been a great platform for loads of reasons. And like, it's part of it is work for me as well. Like, that's kind of the way it's gone. To an extent, it won't always be that way. But I'm grateful for what it's given me and the ample opportunities. But I always think it's important to say that literally what you see is just the smallest snippet, because everyone has got shit going on and everyone's going through different stuff. So don't ever feel like someone's life is better than yours, because it never really is.
It never is. And I'm always so grateful for the women that do come on the podcast and take that opportunity to have, as I said, more of that kind of conversation, as opposed to kind of spilling every emotion out into a 15 second story. Like, to be able to kind of sit down and to talk and to share and to have, you know, it's a conversation that often in those lonely days that if people are out walking, listening to it, they feel like they're part of.
Yeah.
Certainly I did. That's kind of what I took from podcasts in the beginning.
Yeah.
And we all feel like this. We all have those days. We are all entirely under-supported, understood and under-acknowledged for actually how hard it is. At a time when we're being marketed that it's supposed to be the happiest. It's not unlike Christmas, which is coming up, which is like, you know, it's actually stressful. It's actually stressful, but you know, you're being marketed this like Hallmark, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year stuff. And it's not always, you know, people have their own shit that they're going through. It's not always easy for everybody. And it takes courage to say that out loud. And it took courage the first episode for you to talk about things that you did. And I think you probably now understand from the volume of messages and shares and everything that kind of happened as a result. Mm-hmm. Like I always love, I think the measure of success is when a real human actually comes up to you and says what you said. That to me gives me shivers every time. I love it.
I had a couple of glasses of Prosecco in me. I was like, don't make me cry. You're so nice. But I love it. It's real life shit, like as in, yeah, no. But again, that's only thanks to you, Sinead, honestly.
No, look, it's thanks to everybody that listens. If the podcast wasn't doing well, I wouldn't be able to keep doing it. So and it's thanks to all the guests that feel like they can trust me with it, because that honestly is one of the greatest things. Like when I see a guest, like we're strangers. I've never actually physically met you in person. Like I don't know what we talk about if we did meet in person. Like so
I know.
To have somebody to come on and I can instantly tell straight away if this is going to be one of those ones where I'm like just asking the questions and running the course, or oh, they're here for the deep stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
That makes such a difference. But it matters. It matters to the people that listen. And it matters that more women feel safe to talk about this. And we can only do that by listening to others. So
yeah, for sure. Thank you. You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on again. So I'll see you in another 6 months.
Yeah. What milestone will I have then? Oh my God.
She'll be taking her first steps and
I think so. Yeah.
The whole thing.
That will be fun. I'll have to just baby-proof everything in the house.
This is why I don't buy nice things.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I know. The Christmas tree won't be the same next year.
Thank
we move.
So much.
Not at all. Thanks, Sinead. I really appreciate that.
Oh, wow. I know that conversation is going to help so many. And if you're one of them, I would love you to get in touch with me on DMs on Stretchmarks Podcast, Instagram, or leave a review. Okay, thank you so much again to my guest, Sinead de Butler. Another amazing and beautiful conversation. Now let's make sure women who need to hear it discover it by sharing it on your socials or with friends and family. And I will talk to you again next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.